Chocolates, ice cream, pizza, hamburgers, sodas, and juices are just some of the foods we see in our daily lives, supermarkets, restaurants, and on TV. These have become part of our culture, even though multiple studies over the years have shown us how harmful they can be to our health, especially to our weight and our heart. The question is, have we become aware of it? It seems like not. Since data from the World Health Organization showed that in 2016, 39% of the adult population in the world was overweight, and 13% suffer from obesity. Currently, per year, at least 2.8 million people die from this disease. So, no, it seems like we are not aware of it. Now, what if I told you that an unbalanced diet, means one that doesn't contain minerals, proteins, and vitamins proportionally, can cause you brain activity to deteriorate rapidly? Yes, diet affects our brain and consequently our decision making, memory, and overall our cognitive and learning abilities. Curious, given that even though the brain is a mass of fat that accounts for only 2% of the weight of our entire body, it consumes 20% of the energy we use. Well, it all goes back to the moment when we are in our mother's womb. And from there, the food begins to influence us. A study done in France where the diet of a group of pregnant women and later their children between the 8 months and 5 years of age was monitored. It showed that the children of mothers whose during pregnancy period they consume more processed food, sugary drinks, and fast food, those children develop a more violent behavior compared to the adult children. This group of children also develop a tendency to feel anxiety and fear. And this is not only influenced by the diet during pregnancy, but also by the type of diet the individual child had. So yeah, children who tend to consume more sugar and processed foods develop this type of behavior. On the other hand, a study conducted on a group of inmates in a prison in France focused on a specific group of inmates whose diet was enriched. This new diet contained a higher amount of proteins, minerals, and vitamins. And after 1 or 2 months of consuming this specific diet, the particular group of inmates had reduced their violent incidents by a third. And well, you might be wondering, why is this relevant? Well, this opens a new discussion where the scientists are starting to explore the possibility that if the population begins to eat a more balanced diet, it can reduce the crime rate around the world significantly. So yeah, these studies end up proving that food can influence our behavior. However, decision making is usually affected depending on how we feel. It's like that phrase that says, "Don't make decisions when you're angry, don't make promises when you're happy." Very logical, isn't it? It turns out it is. A simple decision we make can vary from what we have eaten before. In a study done by the Institute of Technology at the University of Lübeck, 24 people are presented with a series of situations. One of which those situations is that they had 6 coins and they are offered 2 more. The condition is that they don't know whether by saying they want the 2 extra coins they will receive them, with this, we can have 3 different outcomes. First, they receive the extra coins and leave with 8 coins. Second, they receive the other 2, but some of their original 6 coins are discounted. Or 3, they're giving nothing and they just keep the original 6 coins as their amount. So, think about it for a second. What would you do in this situation? Well, I hope you have your answer, but I will tell you that it turns out that what you decide depends on what you have eaten as breakfast in that day. Within the study, what the participants ate for breakfast before reporting to the test was controlled, so it was described that if you ate a meal high in protein, then you will be more likely to accept the offer. As a person, you will tend to be more tolerable. On the other hand, if the meal was high in carbohydrates, it is likely to be rejected, as the subject will tend to be more sensitive. This has a chemical explanation. It is based on the fact that if tyrosine in your blood is higher, it will make a greater stimulus to dopamine, which will increase motivation and willingness to take risks. So basically, yes, food influences our behavior and our decision making. Recent studies have shown that 4 days of eating junk food is enough to affect the conditions related to the hippocampus. This consists in memory, learning, behavior, and spatial navigation. Related to this, the University of Sydney, they are feeding rats with the same food that can be found in supermarkets at very low prices, like potato chips, cookies, and sodas. And these animals are tested to identify some type of affection in their brain and its functioning. It was evidenced that after the repetitive consumption of these foods, these animals suffer damage in their temporal spatial memory. Since this group of rats now find it difficult to identify any kind of change in their environment, simple changes such as the change of position or a place of an object that they had previously recognized, now they take it takes them twice as long as it takes a healthy rat to realize this. Additionally, it was found that the portions that eaten by these animals, the experimental group of rats, were twice as large. That said, let's talk about the study of Oregon Research Institute, because it directly related to this. So in this study, a group of 100 students was divided into two conditions. 50 students who consumed ice cream every day, we're going to call them group 1, and 50 students who consumed ice cream less frequently, group 2. So they consumed ice cream less frequently in comparison to group 1. But before continuing, have you heard of the compensation system? Well, the scholar Pedro Benito López defines this in his article called The Reward Brain System from Learning to Addiction. So I am going to quote part of his article, and so we open quotes. The brain's production of neurotransmitters such as dopamine or substance analogous to morphine or cannabis mediate our motivations, desires, emotions, and pleasures. These substances are essential in the functioning of the reward circuit, also known as the limbic system, which controls not only the basic behavior for our survival, such as eating, drinking, or reproducing, but also our social interaction, reproducing, satisfaction, or disappointment. When this system is stimulated in a powerful and repeated way, it favors dependence and addiction to the stimulus, replacing the pleasure it produces with the need to repeat it and its compulsive and irrational pursuit. Close quotes. So yeah, it turns out that the compensation system of the group 1 in this study has changed. In the study, the brain activity of the students was monitored while they were consuming the food, and indeed, the system of group 1 no longer functions the same way after a couple of weeks into the experiment. These students showed that they needed to consume a larger amount of food than before to feel satisfaction, which is not present in students who do not consume ice cream every day, which is group 2. In addition to this, it was identified that students in group 1 tend to generate a stronger response to the food stimulus. The brain has become hypersensitive to images of food. The response mechanism to this leads individuals to seek ways to consume food without even if they are satisfied, they look for ways to get the food, even if they're not hungry. However, a pattern was generated trying to look for food rich in sugar. Coincidence? The fact that sugar is one of the most things present in the food we consume, and even in the foods that we have it even in foods that go unnoticed, like box cereals, prepared sauces, yogurt, bread, chocolate, and all of those kind of products. So clear examples of food that has a lot of sugar but we don't know about it are cereal bars, because they generally provide a significant amount of calories per unit, and they had hidden nutrients, including sugar. So did you know that 30 grams of a cereal bar contain up to 3 tablespoons of sugar? Second, crackers. Experts from the University of Michigan in New York Obesity Research Center recently explained that crackers are one of the foods that most activate the brain's reward system. They're made of refined flours and a huge variety of sugar additives. So with 4 crackers of this type, you will be taking up to 10 grams of sugar. And finally, we have cereals, because often fried foods and raisin cereals have more grams of sugar than children's or traditional cereals. The problem is that fat and those additives that we don't see there. And the problem is the fat and those additives that we don't see. So check the energy load of the cereals when you eat them, and if you want to have a healthy and balanced diet, choose whole grains. Accordingly to this, all of this is according to a study of the Department of Epidemiology and Statistics in London. But that's not it. All these kind of foods have been called by experts, quoting, the silent demon, because you can consume up to 20-25 grams of sugar in a single serving of some of those foods without even knowing. And this is related to the question, how many times do we have to make a food decision between an apple or a chocolate bar, salad or a pizza, a natural juice or a soda? These are everyday situations, and if you haven't noticed, we tend to choose the second option, sugar and carbohydrates. In a study conducted by a scientist named Serge Chament, rats were subjected for several weeks to a diet based solely on sugar and cocaine or heroin. After this time, the animals were put in boxes where they could take a sugary drink or the liquid drug, and it was up to them to choose which straw to approach. This was done to discover which one of the two liquids the rat prefer. And of course, the result was concrete: sugar. The rat chose sugar. Well, not just one, but like most of them. Most of the rats chose sugar rather than heroin or cocaine. Therefore, this opens another discussion about sugar and its similarities to the effect it has on the brain, which can be similar to what psychoactive substances do. Given another approach, I would like to talk about our neurons, because they are also affected by sugar and carbohydrates. As we already know, foods rich in sugar and carbohydrates generate inflammation in our bodies. However, what we overlook is that this inflammation, since it affects the whole body, it also can reach the brain. Well, the brain and its gray matter are made up of fatty acids that we can only provide through food that is rich in them, such as fish, natural oils, and nuts. The problem is that if we do not consume this type of food, there will be no other way for our brain to get these important acids, which will bring complications to the organ. Without this consumption, our brain will have a slower functioning and runs the risk that the membrane that normally protects it and our neurons are weakened, giving way to inflammation to get into the brain. When the inflammation reaches the brain, it can uncontrol some of its cells, and like these specific cells, such as microglial cells, which are basically in charge of eating the dead neurons, but due to the lack of nutrients, these same cells can begin to eat healthy neurons as well. So this scenario has been brought to light as an extreme case, but as my mom says, it is better to prepare for the worst while hoping for the best. In this particular situation, it is better to think that malnutrition will lead to the destruction of neural networks. To recap, we have seen how food can influence our behavior, decision-making, cognitive abilities like learning, memory, and spatial location. And also, we have seen that our current habits will define our lifelong habits, as we can become addicted to sugar, huh? Well, I will leave this here, and I will continue talking about a bit of mental health and water in our next episode. So, I'll hope to see you there. Careful with what you eat. Thank you.